Hey, it's me, Richie T, and it's time for another episode of The Cultural Hall. It's Cultural Hall Articles of News Week 6-1. 2014. That's how the church does dates. Did you know that?
Do they? Backwards?
They do it 6 Jan 2014.
Oh, 6 Jan, not 6-1.
Yeah. No, 6 Jan 2014. So all those ward clerks out there, yep, you bet. That's how we do it. I'm joined with, this is going to be an interesting episode today because call them fierce competitors, call them enemies, frenemies, some might say. I'm joined with Brittany, the... Whatever. The no title. The no label. Don't label her in 2014. Yep. And welcoming back our friend, Kyle.
Oops. Brother Kyle.
Brother Kyle.
Oops.
Sorry about
that. Are we frenemies?
Yes.
Do we love to hate each other?
The greasy-haired, angry, white...
I walk in and Richie's like, you look all greasy-haired. I'm like, what does that even mean?
No, I said, hey, greasy-haired. And then I was like, no, then your face was furrowed. Something is going on today. And it's all right. You don't have to talk about it. But you have a lot of angst or anger or something.
But what does that have to do with my hair?
I don't know. Your face makes your hair... I don't know.
My face makes my hair look greasy.
Maybe.
And when did you convert to Catholicism?
Because of the cross?
Yeah.
I noticed the cross, too. I was just going to let it slide.
We talked about that, didn't we, in the episode about the banning of the cross?
Michael G. Reed, the author of the book Banishing the Cross. He talks about how it's not really a thing and that he thinks it'll come back in Mormonism.
I'm bringing it back.
Yeah.
I like them. The necklace has a lot of just little knickknacks on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the cross. I mean, it's...
What's the round knickknack thing? Not that one. The other one.
This one?
No, not that one.
This one?
No, lower. That guy right there.
This guy?
What is that?
They all just look like symbols. Like this one. I don't know. It's weird.
It'd be cooler if they were all religious symbols. I'll be honest with you.
They might be, actually. I don't know. But, I mean, I think they actually are. Like, I think it's more of like a... I don't know, because doesn't this look like what they hold when they're, like, being made king or whatever? They hold that ball in one hand and the scepter in the other hand or whatever.
Listen, your private life is no part. I'm just teasing.
Oh,
wow.
You know what, though? Looking at that, though, that's about as big of a cross as you can get away with.
You think?
Yeah. Because anything much bigger than that, and I think that you're flaunting.
I've gotten looks for it. Sure. I don't know. I bought it because I really just liked the look of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't wear it. Because it had the little cross on it, and I didn't want people to think that I was
Christian.
Whatever.
So you haven't worn it to church?
No, I would never wear it to church.
You wouldn't wear it to church?
No, because I don't want dirty looks, and I don't want the bishop to pull me into the office and give me a stern talking to. Although, I had a really interesting conversation with my bishop yesterday.
All right, go. We'll start there.
Okay.
This is your story, though. This is what you get. This is our getting to know you this week.
This is
our opening exercise with Brittany. Go.
I don't really know if I want to talk about this or not.
Okay.
Please do.
Do you,
talks with the bishop are always good.
Dang. Okay. So I don't want to like talk too much, get like too personal. Let's just say you know, because we've been friends, that I have
issues.
IBS, indigestional issues. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
No, that's
all
right.
And this is the bishop talk.
Right. No, and this is, but
I noticed you had IBS, Brittany.
But you have to understand that in order for the story to make sense.
Okay.
I've struggled with this.
Why your bishop knows he has IBS is beyond me, but that's
it'll,
fine.
It'll make sense in a minute.
Okay.
But I've struggled with this my whole life. It's really horrible. For people who haven't dealt with it, like, you don't even know.
Sorry, and I'm laughing.
You don't know. You don't know what it's like to not be able to just function normally. Anyway, so I've tried everything,
mm-hmm.
like literally everything, holistic, non-holistic, and nothing has ever helped me.
Okay.
And finally, one day, my little sister, who is inactive right now, says
labels, by the way,
right, but just I don't know, for context, is like, have you ever tried coffee? And I'm like, no, I don't drink coffee, I'm LDS. And she's like I swear to you, a cup of coffee, one cup of coffee a day,
mm-hmm.
and you'll be good. And I'm like, okay, I'll try this. So I did decaf because I hate caffeine. I have a very sensitive constitution.
Yeah, I can't imagine you on caffeine.
No. it's bad. It's bad. Like, I can't. My heart, like, will palpitate. Like, I can't even take anything harder than an ibuprofen.
Yeah.
So,
So we know how to get her buzzed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take note, boys.
Right? Slip me a jujube. So, I don't know why. So, I try the coffee and it works. And I'm like, okay, maybe this was just a fluke. So, I try it again. Works again. So, I'm like, oh, crap. Now I'm conflicted. I finally have found something that I consider fairly holistic that helps me.
Sure.
But now it conflicts with church doctrine.
Not decaffeinated coffee.
Well, I didn't know that. So I went and I talked to the bishop and I said, so is this going to be a problem? And he's like, are you asking me if you can still have a temple recommend while drinking decaf coffee? I go, yeah, I guess that's what I'm asking. He's like, yes.
Yeah.
And then like, well, then why?
Well, I would say it's one of those things where, you know, additionally, like the church says, marijuana is not a thing that we support,
right.
But I'm pretty sure if someone goes in with glaucoma or is, you know, recovering
right.
from cancer, if they go to their bishop and say, you know what, I'd really like to eat so that I don't die from malnourishment, is it okay if I have this marijuana so that
right.
I can eat? I can't imagine that the church would be like, nope, blanket rule, sorry pal.
Well, but for me it's okay, so like the other aspect of this is that, again, being a more holistic individual, I don't want to ingest anything that is bad for me. And we've always heard that the reason why the word of wisdom came about, you know, alcohol, tobacco, back then they didn't know it was that bad for you. But now we have all this information that shows us, you know, how bad they really were. And see, and so if coffee has been lumped into that group, that makes me a little paranoid because it's like, well, what is it about coffee that's so horrible? And my bishop was like, well, it's the caffeine. I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense to me either, because then why did the church just come out and say you could drink
caffeinated beverages
right.
like Coke?
So if the caffeine is the issue, see what I'm saying?
Like, sure. Did you cool down the coffee?
Did I cool it?
Maybe yeah, that's half of it. The hot drink.
The hot drink part.
Like the hot drink. I've heard that theory too. I've also heard that it's the tetanic tanning agent.
Acid. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not so good for you or whatever.
I've stopped trying to justify it and just said, you know what? Because God said. And then that to me is at least something where I can go, you know what? Because God said.
Well, so have I. And here's the thing. It's not as if I love the taste of coffee. Mm-hmm. I actually think it's quite nasty. And I'm not the kind of person that's going to dump a ton of sugar into it to make
sure.
it taste better. Like, if I'm going to drink it, I'm going to drink it black or with a little bit of cream in it just to, like, cut the edge off of it. But
to cut the edge off.
Oh, yeah.
Right, and then it goes down smoother. But because I was always like you. But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're coming from this paradigm where you don't need it. What if it was something that you found that was the only thing that could help you with a certain...
I'd do it.
Right.
I would do it without any sort of hesitation. I'd be like, God understands, and drink it up.
God understands. And see, that's when you start to get into the justifications, though.
Sure, but it's nobody else's business. What I wouldn't do was, I wouldn't in my ward go, well, God said it was all right to me to be able to do this. I'd keep it to myself and just have it be a personal thing.
Well, now everybody knows.
Yeah, you know you did it right just talking to your bishop, getting the okay.
Yeah.
Seems like a reasonable guy.
And don't flaunt it. Don't be that person. Well, oh no, it's cool. It's all right.
Walk around with your
it's like the handicap sticker.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, no, I've got a pass for this.
Is that too much? Should I not be that liberal? I feel like there's lots of things like that.
We're going to get letters,
agree.
I'm sure.
I'm on that side of it. Yeah.
Every time I open my mouth, we get letters, so.
Well, get
bring
ready, because I've got.
Bring them on.
I've got 100 emails here I want to talk about.
Okay,
do come
it.
Up. What's new with you, Brother Kyle? Congratulations, Brother Kyle. 15 years today. He is the longest teaching spin class teacher in the state of Utah.
Really?
No, in the Northern Americas and South Americas for the continual same class, same time by the same instructor.
How is it that you can be a heterosexual male teaching a spin class, which is going to be 99% women, and still not be married?
Because he sees the people.
Look, take a look to your left, sister. That's why.
Look at him. That's
yeah.
your left.
That's why.
I'm like, what am I looking at? You're not a bad looking kid.
Thanks for patronizing me.
No, I'm serious.
I mean, you're not a good looking kid, too. Let's
exactly.
throw that
out. Oh,
there
stop
you go.
It.
You're
average.
There you go.
Yeah.
What?
You're not particularly tall. That's the problem. A lot of women have height issues because they're shallow about height. They
yeah.
want their guy to be bigger.
And hair. They want hair
yeah.
and they want height.
Yeah.
They want money.
And you don't have any of those things.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope, I teach aerobics.
You're just your charm.
I teach aerobics.
Your snarky remarks and a job that isn't full time.
That's right.
you put it that way.
But it's it's like the thing when maybe 3 years ago or something. My mom's came to me and would try to very politely, a roundabout way, say, "Hey, you know, are you seeing anybody? I was wondering if I could hook you up with somebody that I know at work." And I said, "Okay, mom, how are you going to sell this to him? What are you going to tell them? Hey, I have a son who..." And then what are you going to put as the pluses to this? They're
yeah.
going to ask, you know, what kind of hair, what color is his hair and his eyes and what does he do for a living? And you can't answer any of these questions. I mean, you cannot answer any of those. My mom could not. You know, where does he live and what does he do? And all of this had no answer.
Well, he lives in a house that someone generously allows him to live in.
No, at the point, I was living nowhere.
Oh.
Wait, you live in a house for freeze?
No, not for free.
Oh, okay.
But a small amount.
But as of March, the end of March, actually exactly on my birthday, I'm being evicted, and at that point, I will again...
be homeless?
Go back to being homeless.
Yay. Yeah.
Do you want to find a place together? We can, you know, because that won't...
What?
What?
What in the world? I think you're taking this justification thing a little too far.
Nope, you've opened the floodgates.
No, we have to. We have to live together.
No, I'm looking for a place as well, so...
Yeah, that's what she meant.
Well, that... Just you're saying that makes me feel better about the little tiff that we had a couple weeks ago. I made your man friend very angry, and I felt very bad about it.
Well, it's like I was telling him. I said, I know Brother Kyle doesn't mean to be mean. Like, I really don't think that it is your intention to hurt people, unless I'm wrong. Like, unless you really do kind of enjoy watching people
but
suffer.
Ask anyone that's friends with me on Facebook. If you make a posting, it's a good chance I will make a smarmy comment about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Brittany's hit a little, it was a little bit of a sensitive blow.
Yeah.
To someone else more.
Right, to someone else. And I don't know. I think it's fine. Like, I think that it was maybe be more of a... It seemed like a bigger deal than what it really was. And I think, honestly, what it was is just all that buildup from all... Because we can sit here and say whatever we want, right? Mm-hmm. You can say whatever you want about him. He can't reply. Like, what's he going to do? Send you an email?
Right.
Like, he who has the microphone has the power. And
sure.
So I think that was finally just his last kind of like, look.
This is not okay.
That being said,
I would love to move in with you. let's get our place.
Stop it.
Okay.
One of the things that I love about Brother Kyle on Facebook is that he will say what I am thinking, and I appreciate that so much. Like when people are like, oh, those photos are so cute. Brother Kyle will come in with a gag. Yeah, call me in a year when you're divorced. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, sometimes
and
pretty true.
I have probably been sometimes had accurate. More of my comments erased from other people's postings than anybody else on Facebook, I'll bet.
Right close.
But didn't you make a New Year's resolution that you were going to be...
I am. I've been nicer.
You've been trying to be nicer.
I'm going to be more more normal like other people in their postings and the stuff they do. Yeah.
You're gonna conform.
Yes.
All right.
Don't put it that way. Then he won't do it.
Oh.
He's gonna be positive. He's gonna have a less than realistic
2014 is my year.
Mm.
You just wait.
All right.
So far, 2014, not my year. I was supposed to teach gospel doctrine yesterday, prepared my lesson for 3 hours. Not kidding. Studied, listened to some stuff, studied, read, studied. Church was at 11 o'clock last year. So what time would church be at this year?
You would think it'd be 1, but I've heard of several other people where it moves backwards and not forwards.
Right. But you'd think certainly that it's not going to be at 11 o'clock where there's 2 wards. Or 3 wards in my building.
You mean you would think it would remain the same time?
You wouldn't think it would remain the same.
You'd go to 9 or 1.
Yeah, 9 or 1. So I roll in at 1 o'clock thinking, I know it was 11. Now it's at 1 this year. Only to find my Sunday school class dismissing, going, hey, we thought you were supposed to teach and you're here. And I went, no, I'm ready to teach at 2:15 when it's my time to teach. And they said, no, the ward hasn't changed times until like 2 weeks because they're splitting the stake here. In a couple weeks, so I already screwed up. And I had a really good lesson about Moses and his work and his glory. So that happened. That's the newest thing with me. That, and I babysat all weekend long.
Again?
Yeah, Thursday through Sunday, we had my sister-in-law's baby.
Two and a half years old.
That is a hard thing. So my heart goes out to parents.
Two and a half, I'm okay. It's the newborn I'm not good with.
See, and I thought it was difficult coming into the teenager. It is more difficult having a young, young child.
Oh, no. Bring the teenagers on. We've had this discussion from, 12 on, or even 8 on. I'd be like, all right, I will take this child back. But from birth to 8 years old, I don't want anything to do with them.
It's a different thing. And I felt very, what's the word? Not good at what I was doing. Like, it was like, you know,
inept.
I'm a fun guy. Let's have some fun. Okay, I'm done with this now. And that was Thursday night. So.
No. Just after they dropped off?
Yeah, just, all right, that was fun. Where do I hand this back to? Where does this? No, it was actually a pretty good experience. Taught me tons about myself and probably more that I didn't want to know about myself than
Such as?
Just. That I'm not really particularly good with that age of kids.
Mm. But you know? Haven't had a ton of experience.
No, I've had very little. Like, that was more experience in a back-to-back than ever in my entire life. Even with younger siblings and stuff like that. Like, when my kid, when my little brother was that age, you know, I was already off playing all the time and all that stuff. So I had no experience with it. It just made me feel really, really, I would say humbled, but also just kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I should be doing better at this. So then came the self-loathing and then the self-destructive behavior.
Ah,
so that
yes, happened this weekend. Mormon guilt.
And then you went and got fixed.
Yes. And then I went and got fixed.
With ice cream.
Yeah, some sweet, you wouldn't believe it, the ice cream I found this week.
Are you going to tell us about the ice cream? He will, but he had to
step
away.
He's unlocking the door for Rob.
Come on over, Rob. So the ice cream that I had, yeah, we're just in opening exercises. Come on, hurry and sit down. Don't take too long. There's a chair over there.
The dapper man saunters over to his chair.
I know. Don't hurry or anything. It's not like we've started. Is this the chair you wanted me to be on? I found this ice cream that has like peanut butter cups, and it's not Moose Tracks. It's a Ben and Jerry's. I'm not sure what it's called, but man, it's delicious.
Something that you can get at the store.
It won't replace fish food, but it is a good ice cream. So I drowned some sorrows in that. Rob, hop to the mic. What's new this week?
What was sorrowful that needed to be drowned?
His failure at...
My failure at parenting.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of the ice cream, I have a... I'm not going to go for the year. It's not a New Year's resolution, but for the month of January, no sugar.
There you go.
I'm going to do that too, actually.
Good for you.
Starting as soon as my next show opens, both the gentleman friend and I are doing the 30-day cleanse. So no sugar, no dairy, no grains, no legumes.
No fun. Well, best of luck with that diet or whatever.
It's not. It's just to kickstart, and then after that, you add stuff back in. That's not like a... I couldn't maintain that forever. That's ridiculous.
No.
But it's
I'll
just
see. Maybe I'll maintain it forever.
Gross. Sugar? I could probably maintain sugar and flour.
What do you do when you have problems?
You work through them.
Nope.
You cry into your pillow.
I can't do that anymore.
You address them.
The pillow is moldy.
Oh, jeez.
What's new with you, Rob?
Well, I hear there's this great fast that you can do.
Yeah? We'll get there.
Water only?
Yeah. Water and a vitamin just to keep you alive.
Mm. So I posted this on the Culture Hall Facebook page.
Okay.
We had somebody got baptized yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was very interesting.
Now, who was that?
In our ward.
Okay. I thought you meant some... Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah. You don't know him.
I got baptized
every day. Well, no, I thought you meant like someone who listened to the Cultural Hall, like it was a thematic, you know, like a character story of someone who found the Cultural Hall and decided to get baptized. But you
That'd
just
be
met
awesome.
Someone in your ward.
Somebody in my ward.
Okay.
I posted this on the Cultural Hall
yes.
page. An older gentleman and his wife, I would say.
Were the ones who got baptized?
Yeah.
Cool.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I love it.
Well, this is the interesting part about it. So her brother gets up and talks, and it's testimony meeting. So it's a free-for-all. Her whole family's there.
Sure.
And he's all like...
Was the rest of the family Mormon?
I think so.
Okay.
He's like, we come from a polygamous family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he was older, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an interesting thing what he talked about.
Did all his wives get baptized or just the one?
It was just his dad was polygamous.
Oh. Okay.
So this older gentleman, his sister... They were probably in their 60s, 70s, mm-hmm. and he's like, my sister and I, we come from a polygamous family, and we didn't really come to the church until later in our lives.
Okay.
That's why they are getting baptized later in their lives.
Okay.
And then the gentleman in the wheelchair, it was his. He bore his testimony, and you know, with these new members, they're not too familiar with how testimonies go.
I love it.
And he said, give a damn in his testimony.
Yeah!
He's like, Hooray! You know, sometimes people just don't give a damn. You
no,
know?
I love it.
And everybody, like, perks up.
Everyone wakes up.
You know, and they end with thank you, which is fine, instead of in the name of.
Yeah, thank you. And
thank
everyone
you.
Goes, amen.
And he was also in Elders Quorum. Well, we had combined elders, high priests. My question is, how do you become a high priest? Do you just become old?
No, it's ordained.
Okay.
Because you can be an old elder if you were never ordained a high priest.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was always wondering
a little
about
of both.
That.
There aren't a bunch of young high priests.
No.
Yeah. But like people who are bishops, typically your young high priests are people who lived in other parts of the country or world who became a high priest so that they could be a bishop or a first counselor or something. And then when they come back, you don't get to go back to being...
An elder,
you stay as a high priest.
Yeah, I enjoy elder's quorum better than high priest.
Yeah, really. Boy.
Anyway, so we're in combined meeting, and the same man in the wheelchair said something about, well, you must die in your soul first before you can be repentant, or something like that. I'm like, what? Die in your soul? Okay. Like, perfect. Who's this guy? And then I'm like, oh, he's a new baptized guy. Okay, maybe.
And the missionaries are like, we still have a few lessons. Exactly. We still have some things to teach.
Yep.
That's cool.
And then I still don't have a calling, which is great.
Nice.
And
well, because the wife is in the young women's.
Yeah,
but you won't get a calling, man.
I know.
Support her. That's the best thing.
The one thing the two callings I would like, either be in the nursery or in the primary, but I can't do that because she already has a calling. Uh-huh. They won't let a dude just by himself be in that calling.
Right. Which, by the way, it is creepy when you say you'd like to be in the nursery or the primary.
Because it'd be fun. I'd like to. I think it'd be.
You could be the chorister by yourself.
I guess I could.
That'd be about the only thing.
Yeah, and then the other calling I would want is maybe teach Sunday school to the.
Yeah.
That way, I don't have to endure Sunday school with the older people.
Can't take it.
No. It's hard because I've been in a singles ward for the last 15 years of my life.
You know, I've got an articles of news today that's going to help you, young man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. And then we hung all the pictures in our house. There you go. That's it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
that's
adorable. I've still got one. We've lived in our house almost 3 years. There's a picture that is in our hallway right below where it's going to be hung. Not hung.
Oh. We did that all on Saturday.
That is so cute.
Very exciting.
No gig Saturday night?
No.
Life-of-the-party.com.
Yeah.
Let's hit up a couple emails before we get started.
All right.
This one from Mark. Hello, Richie and the rest of the team. Smiley face.
All right. We are now just the team.
Now it's the rest of the team. Oh, smiley okay. face.
The rest of the team. Smiley
Thanks
face.
Thanks for continuing to put together a really high volume of very interesting and compelling podcasting.
Yay.
I subscribe to a bunch of podcasts, including some of the really big ones like This American Life. And I seem to pick the Cultural Hall first when I'm deciding what to listen what to while I'm driving around.
All right.
I'm not a lifer and I don't really aspire to be. Lifer being, of course, if you listen to every episode of the Cultural Hall, which, by the way, since we've now taken down the old articles of news, it's still possible we'll kind of wave you into lifer status.
Lifer,
if you listen to all the numbered episodes.
You can be adopted into the house of lifer.
Yeah, I like that. I don't listen to every single episode, but I'm not even a member of the church anymore, says Mark. And the fact that I keep coming back week after week to listen to most of what you put together is a testament to the quality of what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank
it's
you.
Compelling. It's not gratingly orthodox, but it's also not overly negative towards the church. It's thought-provoking. I was just listening to the 13 Big Stories episode, which we did last week.
Yes.
And then the special episode with the guy who is fasting with the Utah legislature decides to secede from the union or whatever it was he actually wanted. It wasn't very clear. Hang
Nullification.
On,
Nullification.
My issue, and the reason that I'm no longer a member, is the big current one, homosexuality in the church. I appreciate that you guys bring it up often, and I appreciate the way that you bring it up. Your discussion with Lindsay in the 13 Stories episode is what made me want to write in. Mm-hmm. Although I respect the right of the church to take a stand on whether homosexuality is moral or not, I'm continually discouraged by how little the official church actions leave any leeway for active, believing members of the church to feel any sort of tolerance or support for their gay brothers and sisters. Yes, there's love the sinner, hate the sin perspective, which no one can ever really explain. It leaves plenty of room for people like our friend Trustin, who's the guy who's fasting for the nullification, to trot out the old gem. I love homosexuals. I have homosexual friends and relatives.
I always
but
like
also
that
said that he'd rather starve himself to death than see them legally get married. For the less zealous, it has to be really challenging just to figure out what to think. I'm lucky that my family, most of whom are all active, are willing to live with that cognitive dissonance and are really loving and accepting of both me and my partner of 13 years.
Oh, now it comes out.
Yeah. Great. Here he is.
Well, that explains everything.
Okay. Hold on. I'm kidding.
Mark, don't turn off. We're just playing with you.
Mark, you should have started with that.
Can it be possible just to say we think homosexual behavior is contrary to God's plan, and of course it would be nice for every child to have a mother and a father and leave it at that?
Yeah.
Of course, there are plenty of other things that are contrary to God's plan. Divorce, child abuse, greed, materialism, etc. But I don't see people like Trustin going on hunger strikes over no-fault divorce or homelessness.
Hey.
Anyway, keep up the good work, Mark in Portland. Thank you, Mark.
Mark sounds like a pretty intelligent guy.
Yeah, decent.
And you know what, Mark? Come on back, because really your exact thoughts, your exact sentiments right there are shared by a majority of people here.
And I've discussed this with you. I think it would be fun to do a call-in show with some of our listeners. And Mark would be a good one to call
in.
For sure.
Absolutely. And we're going to do that. I figured out how we can do that.
Yay!
So that's forthcoming.
Yes.
Right along with our 100th episode celebration.
Yes.
Also, you know, it is interesting to note because he talks about the cognitive dissonance where within the church you feel like, and there have been a lot of people who have addressed this on social media to say, hey, can I support my gay brothers and sisters and still be an active member of the church?
Is that really a question?
Yeah, for a lot of people.
Are we discussing this?
I think we can just a little bit. There's a few more things I want to get to. But, you know, to me, it's one of those things where I've heard time and time again from bishops or people who, when they're getting their bishop's interview, because one of the questions in your bishop's temple recommend interview is, do you support or affiliate with any groups that are contrary to the beliefs of the church? And a lot of people go, well, if I support gay marriage, isn't that answering no to that, or answering yes, I do, to that question? Thoughts?
I think there's now a movement where we're going from orthodoxy to,
spirit of the law, letter of the law sort of thing?
Well, you know, with the Jews, they have Orthodox Jews and then they have...
Non-Orthodox.
Jews. I forget what the term is.
I know,
is.
There's a term for it and I can't
Jews.
Think of it. Yeah, just Jews.
And let's say I am an active member of my ward. Mm-hmm. I have a calling. I go to church. I take the sacrament. But I don't have a temple recommend because of that exact reason. Maybe that's not an... So maybe there's a place for these people. I don't
believe that is the what they're... referring to when they ask that question.
Sure.
Yeah.
But there are some people who take it themselves and say, hey, you know what? I want you to know, Bishop, I feel like homosexuality, we should treat everyone like that and that they have the right to get married and everything like that. And they'll bring that up in their interview. And then I've talked to other people or heard from other people who've said, I just say yes and move it along and don't even bring attention to it because I don't think that it's the issue. But for a lot of people, it's a huge deal. Like Mark points out in that email,
yeah.
It's a huge deal trying to grapple with it where they go, listen, I love my son. I love my cousin who is gay, but I also love this gospel and I love the truthfulness that I feel in the gospel. So where does it meet? And it does. And for a lot of people, it doesn't meet up.
Well, this is kind of what I mean. I was sort of getting at when we had that email sent before about like following the prophet, you know, unquestioningly or whatever.
Don't worry. We're talking about that in a minute.
Well, because here's the thing. It's like we need to understand that everybody processes life and their religion differently. And for some people, it is just easier for them to say, you know what? Let's just move forward. We're not going to think about it. It's not going to hang me up. God will take care of it. I don't need to worry about it, sort of thing. And then there's other people who can't do that. And what kind of bugs me is that the two sides can't, instead of saying, okay, I get that that's just how you process. And the other side goes, oh, I get it that you have to question. Oh, okay, I get it that you don't have to. Like, there's got to be some sort of, you know, agree to disagree, healthy understanding here, because some people, it's not okay with them, you know? And I don't think that you should force somebody to just swallow something that they're not okay with, you know? I don't think. I think you should have the right to say if something bugs you. You all are giving me, like, looks.
Yeah, you should be able to.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't feel like you're an apostate if you do that, I think. So.
But are there some limits to that?
Well, yes, but I mean, what limits are we talking about? And that's what bothers me too. It's like people say as soon as you open that door, well, where does that go? Give me an example of something that
talking about the slippery slope?
Yes. Sure.
Because that's what he talked about.
Like drinking coffee?
Well, that's what he was talking about.
Like drinking coffee, right?
Have you listened to Tristan's interview?
Yeah, he talks about a slippery slope where he talks about the frog in a pot of boiling water.
Well, that's what you talked about. Yeah. He talked about this Frankfurt thing.
Uh-huh.
Basically saying, you know, we're going to start by allowing this in the Constitution, and then they're going to start going for our religions and our churches.
Mm-hmm. And that is possible, but that is not absolutely going to happen. That's the thing with the slippery slope argument, which when I was taking my formal logic class, this is one of the things that people will use to try and sway you in their, it's like, slippery slope, you say this, and then all of a sudden, you're here, now you're here. It's like, okay, yes, that's within the realm of possibility, but is it probable? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, again, it's like, good heavens, just... Let us take things in stride, perhaps.
I think the slippery slope is used in the wrong term. Like if you're looking for something like a gateway drug, like coffee. or smoking. But, you know,
it's all over, folks.
Something that is controlled, something like homosexuality is not controlled. And maybe some people disagree with that, but I'm quite certain that I'm correct on it. So it's not a slope they're slipping down. They're where they are.
Yeah.
It's not a slope they're going
down.
They've
done slipped.
Ah, I slipped into homosexuality.
But, yeah, his thing is not about the homosexuality. It's more about the government.
Yeah.
The government taking its, going out of its place to take away states' rights.
And yeah. I'm sure we're going to talk about that.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
This is another email. This is from Paul.
Dr. Apostle?
Paul. No, not, oh. the, not the apostle.
Is it more scripture?
He says, just listen to your breaking news.
Yay!
Of the Cultural Hall with Treston Meekum. I had not heard of what was going on until my wife posted the ABC4 article on her Facebook with a comment that giving him a voice in the media is part of why people do not watch Channel 4.
Aww.
I semi-agree, and I didn't even know there was a Channel 4 here in Utah.
Channel 4 changes their female anchor like every 6 months. The new hot chick of the month.
He says, I thought you did a good job of letting him speak on his issues, yet pushing back on some of his statements. While I disagree with just about everything he said, it is his right to share them. Example given, Shelby's ruling was not illegal, and it was tied to the recent Supreme Court of the United States rulings. Churches will not and cannot be forced to recognize a marriage. He should find out why we have the Anglican Episcopal Church. They came about after the Catholic Church would not allow Henry VIII to divorce. Also needs to look up what state nullification means and would do. Paul continues on, I want to see the literal thread by which the Constitution hangs.
Oh, well, it's hanging.
It's literally hanging by
a
thread.
Well, it's been literally hanging by a thread since 1855.
No, but there's no thread it can literally hang by. He goes on, Gandhi did what he did to gain and give people rights and respect, not take them away from people or deny them from others, unless the others were oppressing people.
Oh, okay.
So he says, he goes on, why do I feel that he'll be running for another office within the next 2 years? Because Treston has run for state legislature here in the state of Utah. He says, well, that is if he does not thin himself out of the herd. As I said, it is his right to do as he chooses. Just wish he would see or understand the rights of others as protected by the Constitution in this situation. It would be interesting to have him in my intergroup relations course. This guy's a professor up at the University of Utah. Then again, I do end up having students with a I'm right, you're wrong, despite what data, evidence, research says viewpoint quite a bit. Again, good job with the interview. Keep the backseat warm for me, metaphorically, not literally, Dr. Paul.
Backseat, not the backseat of the car.
Just a couple real quick. Jeez. Apparently, in the Ron Burgundy autobiography, there is some sort of LDS connection.
Really?
So if someone reads that.
Is that on Wikipedia? Or in the there's a book?
There's Ron a book that has come out. So if someone reads that book and wanted to let me know what that is, I'd love to hear it and share it here in the Cultural Hall. Someone else sent this suggestion in, and we're working on getting her as a guest. Says, I recently read a book that was written by a woman named Melissa Moore. She is an LDS convert who survived domestic abuse with a boyfriend and her mother's boyfriend. Her father is also the serial killer, the happy face killer.
What the?
I think it would be really interesting to hear her story of survival as well as what it was like to grow up with a father in prison. So we're working on getting her here in the Cultural Hall as well. Now, finally, last email, and we're going to have to do shorts. Short articles of news today.
Yeah.
This one from Brad. That's all right. There's not too much going on. I've never seen so many. He's going on his mission, and this guy or gal passed away in my emails about Mormon stuff than I had this week. Been a long time listener and will continue to do so. This is Brad, by the way. You have a great show that is both educational as well as entertaining. Of late, I have been become concerned
because of
about
Brittany.
Some of the attitudes that have manifested themselves in the show.
Uh-oh.
I will attempt to explain and not be too long-winded about it.
It's mine.
Number one.
Absolutely not.
Should the church give an accounting of their money? So this is the articles of news from 2 weeks ago.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think it should any more than any of you would want to post an accounting of your finances, of your own personal finances.
But I don't have people paying tithing to me.
This is not a public organization. You don't have to belong. The definition of faith is a hope in something we can't see or touch. It's that faith that brings us to where we are. If you have the faith, stand by and let the church leader spend the Lord's money as they are directed. As you already pointed out, and that's about as far as I'll go, no one besides my employer is paying me money.
Right.
if there were other people, like we've talked about taking donations here for the Cultural Hall to continue to do some other things. At the point that we got donations, I would absolutely be completely candid and say, here we want money, and here's what this money is going to be used for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we're doing advertising or we're selling something, no, that's none of your business. That's a business and we're doing it. But if we're asking for your donations, 401, or not 401ks, but 3CC, I don't know, the organization, 501c3, they have to give a documentation of what their donations go towards. And I don't think it should be something that should be flaunted, like, hey, everyone, this is how much we are, and this is what we did. But I think it should be something available to people if they seek it out.
So what else?
Number two, the comparison between the Catholic Church and the Mormon Church is, again, from 2 weeks ago. Once again, folks, it's his church, not ours. We're here by choice. If we don't like it, pack it up and join one of the others.
Like Brittany did.
Yeah. Right? With her coffee. As LeGrand Richards wrote, it's either us or them. Make a choice.
I hate black and whites like that.
Right?
I really do. Even, and as I get older, I hate them more. And that was a very black and white definitive statement.
But to defend Brad, the people, there's nothing that frustrates me more than the people that are like, well, I'm kind of Mormon.
But you can't say that. It's like everyone has their own path. And,
sure.
And so it's like, don't judge other people because they're not where you are.
Sure.
And if they can only participate X amount in the church right now, then that's all they can do.
Sure.
You know?
Yes.
But I understand what you're saying in the sense that, like, if someone's sitting around just bad-mouthing, that's like, if the majority of the church you hate, then yeah, I would question, why are you still here?
Yeah, if you're committed, then do it, and if you're not, then don't. And you can be various parts of on a path. Maybe you don't know these things, maybe you don't have a calling right, or any of these things, but are you committed to doing it, or are you not? And at the point that you're not, I don't know why you would still be around.
With the church?
Yeah.
I think there's lots of reasons.
It's cultural. No, but it's traditional.
I know, but at the point at the point that you're not committed to for me, that's the thing that just drives me crazy, right? It's fine if you're dealing with issues. It's fine if you're trying to figure stuff out. It's fine if maybe you don't want to have a calling or something like that. If you're committed to it and going, you know what, I want to do this, I'm committed to it, then I think you continue to go. But at the point that you're like, meh,
but how do you,
I don't understand. I don't. That right. Me personally, but, I don't understand.
But
that
how do you
point
know where but, they are, though? That's where I'm
no,
asking.
No, and that's why I say I would never judge. I'm just saying, as a personal
and
kind of
your,
introspective
gotcha,
thing.
Gotcha.
What's your definition of committed?
That that you're trying your best at it, right? Maybe you can't pay tithing, but your hope is to understand tithing or be okay with tithing, or at some point, you know, be a temple recommend holder and have that be the thing. If you're not right now, that's fine. I have no sort of judgment about that.
Right.
But it's the, yeah, ma'am, maybe, I might, I don't know if that's the thing.
It's the kind of person that says, I want the benefits when I die, I want to go right to the top, but I don't want to do all this crap.
All this crap.
I don't know. Sorry, fired up number three.
All right.
As you question why things are the way they are or why they aren't different, remember there is a plan and a reason for everything. Agreed. We may not always see the plan or the need, but we should have faith that it is there and in play. Sometimes the lessons we need to learn from different directions come from different directions and directly in front of us. For example, sometimes it's more important to allow others to help us rather than trying to get by on our own. You know, like using your home teachers. Try to look at the whole ball game and not just the small part of it in front of you. And I would agree that that would be something that we have missed. I would agree with him on that point.
And I actually do too. I think that's human behavior 101, is that we rarely can see past our own noses because we're all mired in our own paradigms.
Who said that? I can't see past my own nose.
Right.
What? Someone said that? What? Are you being funny?
Go have a cup of coffee.
No, but I will say this, though. I think the one caveat I would add to that is that we still need people who are willing to get messy and be proactive, because that's how change happens. I don't think you can always just sit back and go, well, there's a plan, so I don't have to do anything. So you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
But that's not what he's saying. I don't think that's what he's saying. So.
And then number four, we talked about the homeless. He says, I'm a retired cop after 31 years. We sometimes forget that there is a small contingent of folks that are homeless by choice. Mm-hmm. Our parents called them hobos. They rode the rails and traveled the country. Those folks are still around. When deciding whether someone is truly in need, he says, look at their shoes.
Hmm.
Shoes are a dead giveaway. No one wears bad shoes unless they have no others. Next, look at their hands and fingernails. Hygiene is also a dead giveaway. Last, if you still want to donate, give goods and services, no cash.
Yeah.
I have watched beggars toss food and clothes into the trash as quickly as they received it because they only wanted cash. Mm-hmm. Brad goes on, sorry to go on like this. I do enjoy the show and all of the hosts, except for when Brittany and Kyle fight pettily. It's just that I, no, I'm kidding.
I was like, I don't.
I was all excited.
I do enjoy the show and all the hosts. It's just that I have crossed over and am now one of the old folks contingent that is very concerned about this world and where it's going. Been a member all my life. Even served a mission over 40 years ago. Keep up the good work. Thanks
Yay.
For letting me vent, Brad G.
I like hearing from our older members of
absolutely.
Culture. Mm-hmm. And what I like with Brad G's. Advice about how to treat the hobos. I was out by Thanksgiving Point, and there was a man with the cardboard sign. But this cardboard sign was like a refrigerator box cardboard sign. It was huge, and it says, "My car was stolen. I need to buy train tickets to get back to my wife." And I just thought that was very interesting that he's like, the smaller cardboard sign didn't work with my other scam. Why don't I use these big huge ones? And I'll tell him I just need the money. Because I don't need food. I just need money to
just
get back to my wife.
Was it written in big letters or was there like a whole paragraph of stuff?
Yeah, it was written in big letters. No. So I need to get back to my wife. Need money for a train. Need $87. He was very specific.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're going to beg, be specific.
Yeah.
You should have like a little thermometer that gauges how much you've raised.
Right. Oh, that's a good idea.
The top,
yeah.
Right?
It's like prayer. You have to be specific.
Right.
And I taught this lesson to my father yesterday, which was interesting.
You taught a lesson to your father?
Yes.
Okay.
The TV doesn't work.
Okay.
And I said, well, I figured it out by Googling it. He's like, Googling it? He's like, well, how do you do that? I'm like, well, you say the TV, what it's doing, and what brand it is. And he's like, amazing. I was like, it's just like prayer. You have to be specific.
Amazing.
Okay. He was blown away by that. But the thing is,
I love
it. The older generation doesn't get how Google... I was like, I found a thread that says, this TV does this and this and that when you do this. And he's like, this is amazing. Wow. So... He's blown away by that.
Next week, Rob's going to teach his dad about how to program the VCR.
Yes.
And about fasting.
Yeah.
This is how you program the VCR. Throw it out the window. Yeah.
Does anyone? No. Just DVR, right?
Yeah, DVR. I taught him how to do that,
I have a VCR.
Too.
Do you really?
I don't use it, but...
I have one.
I have one, too.
See that old relic? All right, coming back, we'll do some articles of news.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hey, it's me, Richie T. Let's talk about Christmas gifts and let's talk about LDS Bookstore. If you go to theculturalhall.com, right there at the top, we make it so easy. It says LDS Bookstore and you can click link through and get yourself a Christmas gift. Get one for yourself. LDS Bookstore has everything that you need for your friend, your family. You get yourself some scriptures. Get them embossed. That was the big thing growing up, right? Wasn't it? Getting your scriptures embossed with your name, and then it was like, do I put my full name or just my middle initial or my apostolic name? Check it out. It's ldsbookstore.com. Brandon and all the folks down at ldsbookstore.com, they do a great job, and they want to take care of you for all of your needs this holiday season. Go to theculturalhall.com, click through, and check out all the cool stuff. Because I'm one that's like super overtly religious stuff. I'm like, that maybe is a little heavy-handed for me. No, they got cool stuff. All sorts of great pictures of temples and family vinyl stuff and everything. Check it out. It's ldsbookstore.com. You can get the link at theculturalhall.com.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5500. 576 to book your shoot today.
All right, hit it, Peter.
You can't lose articles of news.
All right, cool. So here we go. We've got articles of news, and we don't have much time. So why don't we each take a story, and then we'll go around. Ladies first.
Let's see.
I need you to pick.
American atheist mocks Mormon message with anti-religion billboard.
Now, here's the thing. So the atheist convention is coming to Salt Lake in April. Cultural Hall will be there.
You can't lose atheists. What, we're going to be there?
Yeah.
We're going to be in the library?
We're going to do a show at the American Atheist Convention.
Are they going to be cool with that?
Wow.
I don't care.
Okay.
I plan on talking to a bunch of atheists. So look forward to that in April.
Are we going to set up like a table?
Yeah.
Okay.
Table, booth, people come over. Let's talk about atheism.
We have like cupcakes and stuff that we hand out.
Yep. Sugar.
Friendly.
You got to trick the atheists.
Yeah.
Lure them into a sense of false
security. You know who made these cupcakes? Not God.
Till after they eat them, then say, we blessed everyone.
It was God! Kidding, we blessed them. What about the billboard?
Hilarious. American atheists in Utah have kicked off a new billboard campaign that plays on the pro-Mormon message of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, asking those with spiritual doubts to consider a new life path, but in a mocking manner. The billboard shows a Utah family and states, "We're the Monet, I suppose, Monet family, and we're atheists." The word atheist appears next to a crossed-out word, Mormon, and ex-Mormons. So apparently that was the progression, right? They were Mormons, and then they're ex-Mormons, and now they're atheists. The billboard located... Slippery slope. The billboard located in Salt Lake City asks readers to come explore your doubts with us. The timing of the message is to draw attention to the American Atheists' upcoming national convention. Many atheists still call themselves Mormons or ex-Mormons. David Silverman, the organization's president, told the Daily Mail, "Our message is this. If you don't believe anymore, don't continue to base your identity in Mormonism. You're so much more than ex-Mormon. You're an atheist." That's funny. "You're so much more than an ex-Mormon. You're an atheist."
Yay. Now
you're
I have
so much
a label.
More than a label. You're a label. You are very far from alone. Be proud to be an atheist. We are, and we want to celebrate being an atheist with you. Yeah. So, I mean, that's essentially it. There's the billboard, and it's a slippery slope. So
labels are fun.
Uh-huh.
Aren't they?
What do you got, Brother Kyle?
I got a few. Pick one. Do you want,
yes,
these are people who've died?
Yeah, these are people who died. I think we hit four of them. Are there more than four?
No, that was it. Only four Mormons died in 2013.
Hooray! It's all that clean living.
I've got this one, then we'll come back to you. Pick another one of your stories, Kyle. This is LDS Cinema for 2014.
Oh, yeah?
Movies that are coming out.
Tell me.
There is a, this is courtesy of some LDS site, whatever. I don't know.
Whatever.
It's something like this. Blah, blah, blah. There's a movie that's coming to the Sundance Film Festival that's a documentary about Mitt Romney. It's entitled Mitt. So that's coming up this year. The LDS Film Festival that the Cultural Hall will be broadcasting from. That's coming up the 5th through the 8th from the Sierra Shell down in Orem, Utah.
Sierra.
The 5th through the 8th of what month?
February.
February?
There is a third Saints and Soldiers film.
Who's in it?
Which I am in.
Oh, wow.
What did you have to miss in order to be in that movie?
I didn't miss anything. I just delayed my happiness and joy from some other things.
Okay.
That's all. I didn't get to give Rob a toast, but I got to go to his reception and see a dinosaur.
It should be fine.
there also is... A film called Inspired Guns that you're going to start hearing about a lot on the Cultural Hall because I'm also in that movie.
You are?
Uh-huh.
Two movies?
That comes out in 2 weeks.
Is it about really good biceps?
What's that?
Is it about really good biceps?
No, it is not. It actually, here's the thing. Here is the thing about that movie. The two actors who play the dopey mafia guys are hilarious.
Who are they?
They're Jake Bensuazzo is one of them.
I love the Suazo.
And the other one is Christopher something. And
oh, those, I saw the...
Those two have the greatest comedic rapport with one another. It blows my mind.
I saw the ad for that in a movie for that movie. I didn't know you were in it.
Yeah. I play a guy sleeping in the foyer.
So you don't have a speaking part?
No, I do.
Oh, good.
I say, Brother Butcher, they call him the... I don't know. It's like one line. It's one and done. I'm forever now, and I'm going to throw this out again, forever now wanting to be one line in a Mormon movie guy. Every Mormon movie, I want to have one line.
There
in
you are on IMDb.com.
Wait, were you
man
in Singles Ward?
Yeah. I was in the second Singles Ward.
That's right, it was.
So you can check that out. That's the films from this year. Other quick thing. Remember we did the Mormon myths, the Mythbusters, Mormon Mythbusters?
Yes.
Remember that.
That guy, Casey Cummings, a University of Utah alumnus, and his website, holyfetch.com, just got a bunch of press. So congratulations to Casey and holyfetch.com. You can check that episode out. I think it's back in the 50s. And we promised that we would have him on again. So I think we probably should do that. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye, okay. Aye, Captain.
All right, now you ready for your story?
Yeah, do you want the, although it is a look back story of 2013, do you want all the LDS authors that made it on the New York Times bestseller list?
Yes, please.
There's quite a few. Ann Romney,
okay,
I'm afraid, made it on.
That's Ann Romney's Kitchen Table or whatever that book is.
Yep,
yeah.
The Romney Family Table. Shannon Hale, Ever After.
Okay.
Gene Reagan, How to Babysit a Grandpa. Richard Paul Evans, of course. Okay. There's like four books in there he wrote. Brandon Mull, I think his dad is Martin,
mm-hmm,
and he had Wild Born, oh my gosh, Jennifer A. Nielsen, had a couple books, and they all have more books coming out. Margaret Stoll, Brandon Sanderson, Ali Condi, and James Dashner.
We got to get some of those people.
These
I've
are
tried
all
to get
LDS
Dashner
authors
in here
who had big selling books, or at least one.
Future guests of the Cultural Hall.
Uh-huh.
Let's do that. Will you save that, actually? I'd like to contact those people. Rob, you got a story ready to go?
Or do you want me to... Well, Brittany took my story, but I was just going to do Mormons on reality TV.
All right. Well, hang on. I got something, speaking of New Year, for you. You talked about how you don't like your ward, Rob.
Oh, well.
Kind
of. It's more of a transition, trying to adjust.
Here are some tips from the Deseret News.
Oh, give me some tips.
Number one, participate more in class.
Okay.
You might find yourself enjoying it the more you participate.
Yeah, I did participate last week.
Uh-huh.
And then
and
I got
did you
some
enjoy
backlash
it more?
Well, they talked about the law of consecration, and then I said, oh, it's like socialism, and everyone went, ooh.
That's why I don't participate.
But are you,
that
trying,
didn't go over
are
very
you
well
trying to be insightful or no?
I am. But then at times I'm just like, I can't win in here.
100% attendance at all ward-sponsored activities. Just an idea.
Okay.
So you get to know people. You have experience with people. Pray for positive experiences.
Okay.
Learn everyone's name.
Oh.
Wow.
I need pictures with everybody.
So there you go. And then this is five New Year's resolutions from the prophets. Ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you made your own. Here's ones from our prophets, who Brittany sometimes follows and sometimes doesn't.
Coffee.
I'm kidding. Here's number one. Find someone for the missionaries to teach. With 80,000 plus missionaries, there's plenty of missionaries. Now we need to find people to teach. Number two, increase your family history efforts. Gone are the days when family history research involved hours of back-breaking, mind-numbing labor over a microfiche reader. Do it at home. Do a little family history.
Oh, my back. I can't search my family anymore.
Number three, let go of a grudge. And I'm proud of you two for doing this one already.
And moving in together.
Yeah.
Right.
Number four, become an expert. President Dieter F. Uchtdorf offers an alternative to the vague improve scripture study goal many Latter-day Saints set. He suggests that church members become scriptural experts on certain topics through their daily study. So become an expert on a topic.
So you can argue better.
Or so that you can help people to and teach the truth.
Whatever.
And then number five, make more time for the temple.
Which I understand you did. Or you're doing this year?
Yep, I sure am. I'm going to go once a month. I'm going to do it.
Oh, that's all?
Well, it's an increase for over last year. I only went like three times last year.
That's
that
good,
was my
then
fault. So now, Rob, my story.
Fault. Jeez, you know TLC. They crank out a lot of quality entertainment these days.
Oh yeah,
TLC the TV show, not TLC the '90s R&B group.
Yeah.
Thanks for the clarification.
Because the thing is, I Googled TLC, and I just found out Wayne Brady is dating Chili from TLC.
Really? Mm.
Oh, shut the front door.
Yeah. Anyway, don't go chasing waterfalls. So they got a show on there called Breaking the Faith. We've talked about it before. Breaking the Faith is basically where some of the youth are leaving that... leaving the crick, as they call it, and trying to get away from it. I watched the last show last night where they kind of wrap it all up and see how everybody's doing, and that was very interesting.
It's creepy, I think. I think it's super creeps.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Like the attitudes, like the essential brainwashing that sort of occurs, super creepy.
But you know that people look at us and do the same thing.
Sure.
That to me was the most shocking part, was to look at that and have the same thoughts you were having and then go, holy crap, I'm sure people look at us and have the exact same thoughts. Isn't it strange?
Sure.
Mm. Yeah, and they keep referencing Warren Jeffs, which is interesting because he still has a handle on these people from jail.
More than a handle, he's
in jail.
Right, but I mean, you think about, so here's the interesting thing about this. Just take this for what it is and going along with Brittany's comment. You think about the early days of the LDS Church when the prophet Joseph Smith was in Carthage jail or was in Liberty jail. Same thing. I mean, he was a prophet of God and this guy's a, you know, kid toucher, but the, you know what I'm saying? Like it's a,
yeah,
I don't know.
But it just shows you that when somebody chooses to believe in something, then really they can overlook anything. I mean, we have so many examples of this throughout human history. It's like, I shouldn't even have to like point that out, but you get someone to believe something, and once that belief is set, everything in their mind will justify that belief, keeping that belief in place. Because if you don't, it explodes your brain. Literally, your brain will explode.
So let me run down some of these other shows.
All right, hit me up.
Ones that are more pertinent, but no. There's 90 Day Fiancé. Isn't that fun?
Huh.
Friday Bride Day. I don't know what that is. Sex Sent Me to the ER. Watch 10 minutes of that the other night.
I saw that for the first time on accident the other night.
Oh, you're just sharing the TV shows.
Yeah, me too.
That's fun.
But,
totally going to totally watch that.
Their other show is, one of their more popular shows is called Sister Wives. We all know about that one, right? Mm-hmm. They moved from Lehigh to Vegas, and they got three houses in this cul-de-sac, and I don't know how he does it, handling all these wives. And what I found out, I watched the season premiere last night. Cody, the father, used to be Mormon. He went on a mission. He came home from his mission, then he found out that his dad became Mormon fundamentalist and became polygamous.
Hmm.
And so that's kind of what influenced him.
I didn't know that.
To break away from the Mormon faith to fundamentalism Mormon. And he meets up with one of his best friends who he met on his mission, and they went in opposite directions. His friend went away from religion completely, and then he went to Mormon fundamentalism, and they admitted they were both didn't really know what they were teaching while they were on their mission. They were not really well instructed into the faith. And then there's this new show, haven't heard about it and just till now. It's called Escaping the Prophet. Escaping the Prophet follows the efforts of former FLDS member Flora Jessup as she helps families flee the community. In each episode, Flora, along with her partner Brandon, a former member of FLDS and one of Warren Jeff's nephews, offers aid in an attempt to extract a number of families from FLDS community.
Crazy.
Any relation to Skippy?
Probably. He's got the... He looks like he's got polygamous
in
his roots.
And that leads me to my next question. Do these people get paid for their reality shows?
Sure.
Yeah, they do.
When we were in talks for TLC, because we were going to have a reality show.
Who's we?
Me, Skippy, and a couple other Mormon virgins. That was what it was all about, to be an older Mormon virgin and kind of our lives. If Romney had won, then the show would have gone through, presumably, but he didn't. So it didn't. And yes, we would have been compensated.
Then we all went out.
Yeah, $10 a show.
Although it did teach me, though, that these reality TV shows, air quotes, reality, are, I mean, they're based in reality.
No, they're not. They're based in someone going, and won't it be funny if we do this?
Yeah. Well,
in reality, I mean that those people actually exist.
They're not actors.
I made someone really mad the other day talking about Duck Dynasty, which I admittedly watch.
I don't watch it.
Right? I think that there are parts of that show that are funny, but that is not reality. That is not a reality TV show. That is people going, hey, why don't you do this? It's not like the camera shows up and they're like, we're going to go to a car wash today and see what happens. No.
The producers say, this is what you guys are doing. This is what we're filming.
Yep.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, I got a few things coming up. Winter Olympics in Sochi coming up.
Yes.
And there are a lot of Mormon folks that will be participating in it. So look forward to that coverage of the Sochi Winter Olympic Games that's coming up. They talk about in this article about Tora Bright, who is an LDS snowboarder. Gorgeous LDS snowboarder. Have you guys ever heard of Southern New Hampshire University?
Yes.
No.
SNHU online?
Online, yeah.
Yeah.
I see the TV commercials all the time.
Oh. Yeah, they've managed to go from struggling to a leader in online courses in just a few years. Anybody know how?
Tithing.
Nope.
The TV ads during Judge Judy that I watch every afternoon because I'm unemployed.
There is that. But in just a few years, using advice from Mormon businessman
missionary work
Clay Christensen, according to a recent article in Slate by Gabriel Kahn, instead of acting like a traditional university, SNHU has made the switch to offering a large catalog of online classes and treating students like customers instead of students. They're super focused on customer service, which is a phrase that most universities can't even use, says SNHU President Paul LeBlanc. So they used this information from Clay Christensen, who is a Harvard Business School professor and author of the groundbreaking book, The Innovator's Dilemma. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And I want to try and get that guy on the cultural hall. And then this, good news. The ex-gay group Evergreen International, sponsored by the Mormon Church, has now shut its doors, says this article.
Wah. Yep.
The bad news is it's merging with another LDS ex-gay group, North Star. So now there's no more Evergreen sponsored by the church. There's North Star.
So careful when you hit the button in your Cadillac. Yeah. Who might you be talking to?
Not OnStar. North Star.
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry. That was...
So Evergreen, they did reparative therapy. We won't really get into that, but basically what their thing was is if you're gay, you don't have to deal with this all your life. We'll repair you and make you heterosexual. And it didn't really work.
And so as I understand it, North Star is just more of a support group.
Support group, basically.
What else do you have? Stories?
Nope.
None? Kyle?
No, they're not that good.
Okay. Rob, you're done? All right. Yeah, so good. Let me just bust through these then. Later this week, we're going to share a video. This is a really sweet video. It's been around for about a month now. Ben Howington shared a guitar arrangement of Families Can Be Together Forever dedicated to his daughter's 5-year remission of cancer. It's really sweet. There are pictures of her that will go with this video, and you should check it out. It's really sweet and really well done, so we'll share that this week. I'm going to end on that one because I think that one is great. Pasco, which is in the Tri-City. Where's the Tri-Cities? Someone help me. Tri-Cities.
Are we thinking about there's some in Washington?
Sure. That's probably where it is. A Muslim exchange student lives with a Mormon family and attends a small private high school. It's not a sitcom script. It's a real-life cultural immersion experience for 16-year-old Muhammad Janjua. Janjua, who goes by Umar, is living, learning, and forging new relationships almost 7,000 miles away from his home in Islamabad, Pakistan. The people he lives and learns with can't imagine not having him around. He made instant friends, said exchange program coordinator Renee Kerr of Umar's first visit to his new school, Tri-Cities Prep. Three students went to his home that night and took him to a football game. For Umar, his short time in the U.S. has already led him to learn a lot about another culture and about his own. I get to see different perspectives. I get asked questions, Umar said. Apart from telling them, it helps me understand more about myself. I was screaming with joy. Several exchange programs bring students to Mid-Columbia high schools each year. Umar is one of eight supervised by Kerr, who is also his host mother. Another Muslim and a few Chinese students also attend prep this school year as part of exchange programs. Umar is on a full scholarship from the Kennedy Lugar Youth Exchange and Study, or YES program, run by the U.S. Department of State. Anyway, he just talks all about his experience here, clearing up misperceptions. Going from the busy urban center of Islamabad to the Tri-Cities hasn't always been easy for Umar. I was not used to the peace and quiet around here. I was used to waiting 3 minutes after a traffic signal changes before going. Here it changes and you go. Anyway, so he's enjoying himself. Catholic high school, Mormon family, Muslim. Where do I go here? The work in the missionary work in Ghana is crazy, crazy busy. There's an MTC there. Instead of going 23 days in the MTC, they get them in and out in 11. Welcome to Ghana. Here's the things you should know. Go teach the gospel.
Wow.
So that's pretty crazy. And there's a fairly detailed article about just exactly how they're able to accomplish that. You can find that at theculturalhall.com.
Now, the MTC is not near the Bering Sea.
Stupid.
And the reason I bring that up is I had a missionary companion in the MTC. He said he was telling this girl that he was from Maryland. And he was like, yes, I'm going on my mission. I'm headed to the MTC. She's like, the MTC? Like empty as in like nothing. C. S-E-A.
As in nothing is in there.
Yes, the MTC. She's like, why would you train
at an MTC?
Anyway.
It's hard to get baptized in an MTC. Let's see. Another year of bumper crops. Did you guys see this article?
Bumper crops are on the way.
Yeah. Bumper crops are on their way. Thank you, Joseph. Yes. a few years ago, a Harvard University professor contacted Wade Sperry, an agricultural specialist in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Welfare Department. The professor explained that he was working on a case study about the Welfare Department's vast and varied agricultural projects. He asked if he could spend a few days visiting LDS church-owned farms, orchards, and beef ranches. He then went and saw, took tours, witnessed happy crews of volunteers picking fruit, harvesting crops, and wrangling cattle. A short time later, the professor sent Sperry a copy of his case study on the LDS Church welfare projects. He wrote that there is nothing like this anywhere on earth. It's very, very unique. And goes on to just say, in 2012, volunteers performed some 350,000 hours of labor. That number is expected to be matched by the end of 2013. The volunteers who reported for duty on the welfare farms, orchards, and vineyard are a varied lot. A few are missionary couples assigned to a specific project, but the vast majority are men, women, youths, and children from all backgrounds who simply answered the call to practice pure religion.
Pure religion.
So that's kind of cool. We mentioned in the 13 stories of 2013 that now there are, well, one of the big stories was the ruling about allowing gay scouts.
Yes.
And now they have, in fact, allowed gay scouts in the church.
And I know there are some denominations and some...
including the Pamlico County Church.
Wanting to break away and say, we're no longer going to affiliate ourselves with Boy Scouts. We're going to do it our way. We're going to join the... what was the one in the Emperor's New Groove? What were they called?
I don't remember.
Who are you talking about?
The scout group. The
isn't
fake
there a scout
group
there in the like Emperor's New Groove?
Yeah,
like the Squeaker Squeakers?
That's the second one. Oh, wait, no, it's the very end of the first one.
Or maybe what's
squeaker
the kid
to squeak
up? Who does he belong to?
Yeah.
Kidding up. They're going to join those groups.
But there are some organizations that are breaking away from it. Not the LDS Church, but the Pamlico County Church will not renew their Boy Scout charter.
We're not super bigots.
Okay, so I'm going to end on that. We'll go there. All right, here, let's talk about this real quick.
Okay.
So, if the United States Constitution
is hanging by a thread,
allows gay people to be married, they can't force the LDS Church to allow gay people
to be married
in the temple.
Church and state.
They can't do that.
No, they can't.
So, everyone who thinks that they can do that and thinks, oh, you're being tricked, they can do that, they can't do that.
Until they ratify the Constitution, they can't do it.
No, they could not do that. Because here is how they could not do that. We refuse to do that.
And gay marriage is a civil thing.
Well,
it's
I know,
civil.
but what they're arguing is that at some point the government will say, we don't care what we said, we're going to force you to do it anyway.
That's a slippery slope.
They can't
unless the government throws out the Constitution, which people are arguing that they're already doing.
Because it's hanging by a thread.
Right.
Right. Right.
But they can't do that.
Well, in case of the zombie apocalypse.
How it is now, they cannot do that.
Right. When they take it from my cold, dead hands.
Now, granted, okay, I'll go there. Granted, yes, I suppose somehow they could be forced.
Everything's possible.
But the thing
is,
they
could be.
Why would you want to get...
it's like, slippery
I don't want to get married in your gay church. I mean, in your church that hates the gays.
Yeah, but the church doesn't hate the gays.
I know.
But,
you know what I'm saying.
It's one of those things where, yeah. It doesn't make sense, first of all, because people who are getting married who are homosexual aren't like, I really wish this was sealed in the temple, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, they can't force you to do that. So please, that's
civil.
Not an argument.
It's a civil rights. That's all it is. Okay.
So that's that article. Oh.
You didn't even reference the article. Okay.
That's available at theculturalhall.com. Okay. It's an editorial. Someone writes to the paper, can this really happen? No.
No.
Melissa Harris Perry. Do you guys know who that is?
L. Tom Perry's granddaughter.
Nope. She is a host on MSNBC. Oh. She's the one who made fun of Mitt Romney's black granddaughter.
Oh, yes.
We didn't even bring this up because it just happened within the last week. Anyway, Melissa Harris Perry.
Does she apologize?
She did apologize. Uh-huh. But Melissa Harris Perry, who is also, I think she is either half or full African American. She's ethnic of some sort.
Oh, so she thinks it's funny, right?
Right. So she says, "Oh, it's all right
the whitest white guy."
But right. Here's the deal: raised Mormon.
Interesting.
Melissa Harris Perry. One of the peripheral aspects of the already tangential Kirangate media kerfuffle over a Melissa Harris Perry show segment is the host's Twitter apology, specifically Harris Perry's invocation of her own Mormon background. A review of Melissa Harris Perry's, and that name is too long. We'll call her MHP from now on. Past commentary about Mormonism reveals an apparently genuine affection and admiration for her ancestors' religion, as well as something of a blind spot for the Mormon Church's history of racially discriminatory policies. As part of her apology, HP tweeted, "As a black child born into a large white Mormon family, I feel familiarity with the Romney family pick and never meant to suggest otherwise." Apparently, as a way to crystallize her positive intent for the segment. On MSNBC's website, she explained, "The intent of featuring the photo was to celebrate it. I often speak to the issue of increasing diverse of the increasingly diverse American family. Whatever the intent, the segment proceeded in an unexpected way that was offensive. Those howling for MHP's head might be inclined to see this as a convenient fig leaf, especially since she herself was not raised as a Mormon. However, Harris Perry has spoken frequently of her Mormon roots." Okay, so I misunderstood. Her family, you know, her ancestors Mormon. I guess.
She wasn't raised Mormon.
No, not raised Mormon, but I guess her parents, etc. were.
I got pioneer stock.
But I had heard that she was. She eschewed any theological debate about Mormonism, but spoke with pride about the church's struggle against exclusion and detailed her own family's history with the LDS Church, including a great-great-grandfather who was imprisoned for polygamy.
Martin Harris.
All right. So there's a book called The Learning Curve, which talks about what they wish they would have known before their mission. It's a great article. If you're an older person or if you aspire to serve a mission as an older person, well, I can do this actually pretty quick.
Okay.
It talks about what you wish you would have known before serving a mission. And I'll go quick because I know we've gone long already. No matter how much you love your spouse, there will be times when being together for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week is just too much. Number two, no matter how old you are or think or how much you think you've learned, you'll learn lots of new things. Number three, just because you are called to serve in an English-speaking country, do not assume that you will know what is going on around you. Number four, you are going to get sick of the two suitcases full of clothes that you brought with you. Number five, senior bodies sometimes have a hard time adapting to new climates and surroundings. Number six, there are no vacations on missions. Number seven, if you serve with all your heart, might, mind, and strength, you will be tired. Often. You will also be busy. Really busy. Number eight, you will have to have the faith and courage to try things that you've never done before. You will find new strengths to use and new weaknesses to work on. Number nine, no matter what you thought your mission would be like, you will be surprised. And number 10, serving a mission is a sacrifice.
So, speaking of older missionaries, my parents invited a sister missionary from Vermont. That's where my sister-in-law is from, to come meet with us. She's by herself. She packed up all her belongings, left Vermont, and came to Utah.
What is she serving, doing?
She does church history.
Cool.
She's by herself, single lady in her 50s, 60s.
I think that's the way to do
Isn't
it.
Isn't that interesting, though?
I think that's the way to do it. There was an old senior gentleman in my mission who, he just, for all intents and purposes, I don't think he really did too much, but was like a morale missionary with the missionaries. Like, he would take us to lunch and he'd, you know, just kind of travel around and help people out. But he lived right there in Cleveland. Just help people out, talk to him if you were having a hard time, go to medical appointments so that one missionary could go continue to work while the other one had a companion with him at the doctor.
Yeah, I could do that.
But he was just, he could do
there
that.
There you go, for 6 weeks.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
This one is great. I found this and this is how we're going to end. This is from Australia.
Wait. Did we not talk about the the court repealing?
No, we didn't.
The court repealed the stay on the gays getting married.
Oh, okay. Well,
today. Whenever you're listening to this, but it was on a
Monday the 6th.
So, what were some of the reactions that you encountered today?
As far as that goes, everyone knew it was an inevitability.
Right.
So
I think it was a surprise too, because from Sotomayor. Sotomayor.
No, because I think it went, as I understand it, went to the whole Supreme Court, and the whole Supreme Court leans a little conservative at this point, far as that goes. So it will end up being something that occurs here again in the state of Utah, is gay marriage.
Right.
But for right now, it's not a surprise that they wanted to give it the fair treatment of talking about it.
Yeah, so the state basically says we will take it to trial. Right.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll deliberate on it later. I don't know that it has to go full trial.
But until then, can people still continue to get married?
No.
No, they can't.
No, they cannot.
So there are two threads now that the Constitution is hanging by.
Yeah, they were able to sew it today.
They'll mend it. They'll put a patch. No, so gay marriage, everyone who got married can be married.
And there was around 900.
Oh, really? That I hadn't heard.
I heard around 900 people were married in the last 2 weeks.
And so we'll see where it goes from there.
All right.
Maybe not 900 people, but that'd be 1,800 people, right? Around 900 marriages.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this I thought was interesting. That's all about it. I mean, it's an inevitability that was coming, and we know that some people are like, yay! And other people are like, meh.
And Gail Ruzicka's like, yay!
And everyone else is going, who's Gail Ruzicka?
Right. Wow.
From Australia, are you ready for this?
Look her up.
Two Mormons on the Gold Coast for a church camp stand accused of a shocking attack that left a passing stranger in a coma.
What the?
Uh-oh.
This is Mormons behaving badly.
Gold Coast, is this in Africa?
No, it's Australia.
Oh, that's the Ivory Coast. Okay.
Yep. Emanaki Kafusi and Onisi Tafui.
Uh-oh. Oh, were they missionaries?
Yesterday, they faced Southport Magistrates Court charged with grievous bodily harm over a violent attack on a tourist in Surfer's Paradise. Hundreds of Mormons have gathered on the Gold Coast for a Latter-day Saints conference at Telebugdia. But as their friends listen to the teachings of church leaders, Kafusi and Taufi, both from Western Sydney, headed to the bright lights of Sin City for a night on the town. The court was told that the pair were walking along Cavill Avenue in the early hours of Sunday morning when an intoxicated Kafusi allegedly yelled, "I just want to hit someone! I will hit the next person I see." Witnesses reported Kafusi showing an intent to fight others for no reason and told him he was drunk. Kafusi allegedly responded in Tongan, "You want to see drunk? This is drunk."
That's police not said, a knife. This is a knife.
Police said he king hit.
This is drunk.
Police said he king hit, which I'm not sure what that is. You want to Google search what a king hit is? He king hit 24-year-old tourist Anyakachi Okaya, who collapsed unconscious to the footpath. Both men then allegedly stomped on the victim's head before laughing and walking off. When their Mormon friends pleaded with them to turn themselves in after Mr. Oki was rushed to the hospital, the duo allegedly tried to flee Surfer's Paradise in a taxi to return to the Talud Budgera camp. What's a king hit?
A term widely used in Australia, very hard punch, usually delivered to the head, that is completely unexpected. Most often results in knockouts or knockdown.
A sucker punch.
Yeah, essentially it sounds like.
And it's similar in meaning to sucker punch. You are the winner.
Mr. Okoye, hooray, from Glendale near Newcastle, later woke from a coma and has been transferred out of intensive care at the Gold Coast University Hospital. He suffered a broken jaw but no brain damage. Magistrate Brian Kilmartin refused bail due to the seriousness of the allegations. They will face court again on February 26th. Outside court, duty lawyer Mal Chalmers said his clients were in, quote, a state of shock. Kafusi couldn't remember anything about the event, he said. Latter-day Saints stake president Asa Smybert said the men were not pre-registered at the camp and may have been visiting friends. Violence of any sort in the community is a tragedy, and our thoughts and prayers go out to the individuals.
So the question
involved
is, are they Mormon? They could have just been some dudes who were friends of the Mormons.
Could.
They were just lumped in.
So we'll follow that, but the headline,
Drunk
Mormons accused of random bashing of man on Surfer's Paradise Street.
What do you expect in Australia?
A knife!
They're all criminals, aren't they?
Yeah, that's why we send them to that island, isn't it?
Exactly.
Did you know that's what it was originally for?
Yeah.
Yeah. We hope that this show, I'm not calling it a podcast anymore.
Why?
We're moving to show because we're bigger than a podcast. We're a show.
We're a show.
Let's all adopt that.
Okay.
We hope that this show has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope that if you weren't well enough to listen today, that you'll be well enough to listen next week.
We hope you're not on a slippery slope.
And we hope that you will not get sucker punched on a beach.
That's a king hit, pal. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you
on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row. We really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.